In 1990, we're visiting Kilpipe. Kilpipe, I know, has particular family associations with our communications officer, Margaret Hawkins, who's giving me so much help with these peregrinations. It also has particular associations, I know, with one of my most distinguished of predecessors and so much loved and so much a authentic son of this diocese, namely Noel Willoughby. And so visiting in my mind Kilpipe reminds me of the inheritance into which I've entered, what I've learned from studying the wisdom of my own predecessors, the ground they have prepared. And I think of bishops of this diocese who've been alive in my memory. I mentioned Bishop Willoughby with his buckets of pastoral skill. I think of Bishop Armstrong, who later became primate, of Bishop McAdoo, that amazing scholar of Anglicanism, Bishop De Pauli, who came to Cashel from the Deanery of St. Patrick's. I think of Archbishop John Neal, still happily among us in his retirement from Dublin, my own predecessor and good friend, Bishop Peter Barrett. And there's a sense, both in this world and beyond, of the company of witnesses and supporters and encouragers that one experiences from those who did the same task in their time and into whose endeavours one has entered. And so this sort of personal thinking brings me to another personal thought for 1990. Just occasionally I've allowed my story to enter the bigger story, because they do intersect. And what is history but the sum total of the affairs and thoughts of individuals? In January 1990, my father died, a man in his 80s, old to be my father. I was only 28 then. My father had been born in the first decade of the 20th century, grew up in a country rectory with, unusually for the time, a staunchly nationalist parents, remembered well the Black and Tans and the Treaty and the Civil War, and worked as a curate in the 1930s in a parish which included older people who well remembered disestablishment and in some few cases even the famine. Listening to my father's stories not only endowed me with a long memory of Ireland and the Church of Ireland, it fed my fascination with history and my longing to study it more deeply. I found I always wanted to read more of it, to strive to interpret events, to compare the views of different historians concerning major matters. And interestingly enough, my mother, one of a very small number of women fortunate enough to go to university in the 30s, herself studied history. The result of all of this is that I probably bore the diocese with my interest in the past, trying to understand everything in terms of its inheritance, never seeing it as a burden, but always a source of fascination. And I know a lot of historical illustrations and analogies in sermons. As an Episcopal colleague might have said of me, I'm one of those people who probably lies awake too much and thinks about the past. My father lives on in my affection and my memory. He made me so much what I am and shaped my continuing preoccupations. On long walks, which I love to share with him in my formative years, he sometimes still seems there with me, turning every ruined building, old house or ancient church into a benign history lesson. The past I see around me conjures him up too. And so I'm reminded of F.R. Higgins' poem Father and Son, itself inspired by the memory of shared country walks amidst a gentle landscape. Walking alongside an old weir of my people's, I went on manly with grief, knowing how my father, happy though captive in years, walked last with me there. For that man now my heart breaks, whose kind hand was the sole signet of his race, who curbed me, scorned my green ways, yet increasingly loved me, till death drew its grey blind down his face.